Well, over this past 6 months, one Lord's Day evening per month, we've had a special testimony night, and we've invited different ones along to give that word of testimony, and we've heard many varied testimonies of how individuals have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. We're delighted this evening to have our sister, Mrs. Catherine Dunlop, along to give that word of testimony. We do welcome her and her husband and family tonight, and we trust that as she comes now to tell of the Lord's hand in her life, that she'll know help from heaven this evening. Thank you.
Well, it's nice to be with you this evening, and I'd like to thank your minister for the invitation along to share with you about the wonderful things the Lord has done in my life. If you have your Bible with you tonight, I'm going to read from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I'd also like to read one verse from Hosea chapter 13, and it's verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And tonight I'm going to share with you about how I had destroyed myself, how I had destroyed my life with drugs and with sin, and how I found help in the Lord. I want to make it very clear from the start that I'm not proud of the things I've done in any way. I don't want to give any glory to sin. I'm deeply ashamed of things I've done in the past. But I tell you tonight what I've done because I want you to see what the Lord has saved me from. I want you to see the awful place that sin took me to, and how the Lord has transformed my life. I also hope that my testimony will serve as a warning to others. There's a saying I love, and it's, a fool learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from somebody else's. I was born and brought up in Ballymena. I was the oldest of four children. I was from a good home, a respectable home. Both my parents were saved. They'd both asked the Lord to forgive them before they'd even met each other. Mum and Dad worked hard and tried to provide for our every need. They tried to make sure we worked hard at school so we would have every opportunity in life. But you know, the most important thing my mum and Dad ever did for us was to pray for us and to teach us about the Lord Jesus. What a privilege and a blessing it was to be brought up in a Christian home. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So if you're a Christian parent here tonight, I would encourage you to keep praying for your child, as mine did for me. Just before my fourth birthday, I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me for my sin. Even at that young age, I knew I had sinned, and that sin wasn't allowed into heaven. I knew that the Lord Jesus had allowed cruel men to nail him to the cross, and that he had died there for me to take the punishment for my sin. And I also knew that he could come back again at any minute, and I needed to be ready to meet him. And that was all I needed to know. And in simple childlike faith, I asked the Lord to save me. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And from that moment on, I knew I was saved. I knew I was a child of God, that I would never be in hell. I went along to Sunday school and children's meetings in the Gospel Hall in Ballymena. And you know, they were so good at teaching memory verses that I can still remember a lot of them to this day. I was so glad that I had had that teaching and instruction when I was young, and that those memory verses I had learned at God's Word was written in my heart, because when I was older, to my shame, I didn't really have much time for the things of God. To my shame, as I got into my teenage years, I nearly treated being a Christian as a license to sin. I thought, I'll never be lost and God will forgive me. But you know, there's no forgiveness without repentance, and if I was truly sorry, I would have changed my ways. As a teenager, I left the Lord out of my life. I was attracted to sin, as we all are, and instead of turning my back and fleeing from it, I became entangled in it. I was getting into bad company, and I'm ashamed to admit that a lot of the time I was the bad company. I started to smoke, to drink alcohol, and I progressed on to taking drugs. It really is a ladder of progression. And you know, if you're presented with something like heroin, you're unlikely to take it unless you have started off with a cigarette and moved up that ladder of progression. You know, I was a very selfish teenager. I didn't think about the consequences of my actions. I didn't think about the people that I was hurting. I was always looking for fun, and I was scared of missing something. But I didn't realise that I was just discontent inside. I left home whenever I was 17, against my parents' will and against their better judgment. I thought leaving home that I'd have the freedom to do whatever I want, that I'd have no parents to put pressure on me or tell me what to do. But you know, it was the complete opposite. The devil was leading me into bondage. You know, the devil's real. And the Bible says he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I was a wee lamb, away from the flock, away from the protection of the shepherd, and I was easy prey for the devil. You know, this certainly isn't what I had planned for my life, and it isn't what my parents had planned for my life. But before I knew it, I was injecting heroin. It was fun at first, but as it says in Hebrews, it really was only for a short time. Within only a few days or a week, I realised that I was hooked. I was getting physical withdrawal symptoms. Aches, pains, cramps, shivers, nausea, insomnia, just to mention a few. I was completely miserable and tormented. It was such a miserable existence. My whole life revolved around how I was going to get money for my next hit. I started off maybe borrowing money from my mum, dad or whoever, and then when people stopped lending you because you stopped paying it back, I began to steal. I had nothing. I remember sitting in my flat one day, so desperate and so sick, and looking around to see if there was anything we could sell to buy drugs, and there was absolutely nothing to sell. There was nothing left. And a friend and I had this harebrained idea that we would try to lift the wooden floor to sell it. So that gives you an idea of how desperate we were. Having drugs was more important to me than having clothes, than having food, than having electric. I'd have been quite happy to sit in the dark and cold so long as I had drugs. Over the years, I watched friends die through suicides and through unintentional overdoses. There was nothing glamorous or exciting about my life. It was like Groundhog Day, the same thing day after day. I put a new slant on the expression painfully thin, because I literally was so thin that it was painful to lie in bed at night. Felt like it was just lying on my ribs. It was painful to sit. It was obvious by this stage that something was wrong. And Mum and Dad asked me to come up to their house, and Dad held me down while Mum pulled up my sleeves. I can only begin to imagine their horror and panic turned to pain and despair as they realised that my arms were covered in needle marks. I remember Dad phoning people that night, phoning round in a panic. What can we do? What can we help her? What's going to happen? And the answer he seemed to get from everybody he spoke to was, there's not much hope for her. Once you're on that, that's really the end of the road. But you know, Mum and Dad had hope. They had the Lord and they just prayed. They felt so powerless. They took me to the GP the next morning. And the GP told them, put her out of the house, take nothing more to do with her. She's going to destroy your family. As you remember, I was the oldest of four. He says, she'll get the rest of them on it. You need to just cut all ties with her now because she's not going to come off it. But, you know, I just thank the Lord that Mum and Dad didn't listen to that GP, but they continued to pray for me. At that time, Mum and Dad took turns to stay off work and stay with me, and we did a home detox. The GP gave us some medication, and they tried to take me off it at home. And I came off it at that time, but nothing had really changed. I wanted rid of the addiction and all the negative things that came with it, but I was happy to carry on in sin. I was only off it for a couple of weeks. I was replacing it with other things, other drugs, and I just went back to the same lifestyle, the same places, with the same friends, and I ended up doing the same things again. You know, Mum and Dad had tried to warn me, but even when my boyfriend broke my jaw, I was too stubborn to go home and admit that they had been right all along. My parents watched helplessly as over the next few years I attempted suicide a number of times because I saw no other way out. I'd been in and out of hospital with failed detoxes for years. I would disappear for weeks at a time and they wouldn't know if I was dead or alive. Mum had to carry her handbag from room to room because as soon as she set it down, I'd have been into it. For years, I was breaking my parents' hearts, and now it breaks mine to think about what I put them through. My parents never condoned what I was doing. They never made it easy for me. But if my life was hard, theirs was 10 times harder. But they just continued to pray. Tried moving away, but that just spread the problem, brought it with me and spread it. I'd got myself into a mess that I couldn't get out of. I needed to allow the Lord to change me on the inside, to change my heart and my desires. The last time I ever took heroin was at the end of May 2001. I'd taken an unintentional overdose. A friend and I, Mum and Dad, were both at work and we'd gone into Mum and Dad's house and both of us had taken an overdose. My brother Jonathan found us and he phoned Dad, who was in work 50 minutes away. And this will give you an idea of the point that I'd driven my parents to. My dad was so hurt and angry that he said, Jonathan asked what'll I do and he said, just leave her. Just leave them, they're better off. And, you know, obviously, as soon as he hung up the phone, he lifted it again and phoned an ambulance. He rang his friend and my aunt because they were close by and he thought they might get there quicker. I have no recollection of this day, but my aunt and my dad's friend said the paramedics told them that there just happened to be an ambulance passing at that time that's not normally in that area and that if it hadn't, that we would have been dead. You know, God has spared my life again, as he had done on so many other occasions. He had kept me alive. And while I was in hospital at that time, the friend of my dad, who had come to the house that day, knew somebody else who knew a man called Chris Killen, who's a missionary with the Free Presbyterian Church and works with addictions. And through this friend, contacted Chris and asked would he come and see me. And I remember my mum asking would it be okay for Chris Killen to come and visit me, and I was like, oh no thanks, but no thanks. And the situation was that Chris just came up and You know, the Lord really spoke to me through Chris and Ryan that works with him and Chris's wife, Linda, because heroin addicts are notorious for hurting everybody and letting everybody down around them. And nobody really wants anything to do with them. But these people kept coming to visit me and bringing me up wee things, and they'd have taken me out for a drive or whatever, and we'd have went to McDonald's, and, you know, they showed me love. And the Lord was reaching out to me. And I knew that even though I'd disappointed the Lord on so many occasions, that he still loved me and his arms were stretched out still. I knew he was saying, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I also knew that if I was truly sorry, I would turn away from my sin. I was very conscious within my own heart that this was my last chance. I knew that the Lord would not allow me, one of his children, to keep living in open rebellion and disobedience the way I was. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from their evil ways. And you know, at this time, it wasn't a hard decision for me to make. I was fed up living the life I was living. I wanted what these people had. There was a lady from my mum and dad's church came to visit me in hospital at that time as well. And she read to me from Jeremiah 29. And I'll just read those few verses. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. You know, she prayed at that time, and she prayed that the Lord would give me a hope and a future. And you know, I realised that that's what I didn't have. I didn't have any hope for the future. The future was black. And you know, I'd been trying to reform my life when it needed recreated. I needed to turn away from my sin. And I asked the Lord to forgive me and to change me, and he did. Changes had to be made. I had to change the company I was keeping, the places I went, the conversations I had. But you know, he's helped me every day and every way, and he's blessed me in so many ways. He's changed me so much that I stand here tonight and it's like I'm telling you about somebody else. It doesn't feel like it was really me, just somebody I used to know. You know, the devil would have had me believe that I'd have no friends, and you know, that was untrue, because I've better friends than I ever had, and I've the best friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus. The Lord has answered my prayers on so many occasions. He's made me so many promises, and he's kept every single one of them. He's made me so happy, and he's given me something worth living for. He's saved family members. And despite being a known drug addict, and even though I'd been in trouble with the police, the Lord got me a job in the hospital as a phlebotomist. That's somebody who takes blood samples. And all those skills that I had learned trying to find veins in myself, the Lord was able to take them and use them for something good. You know, while I was working there in the hospital as a phlebotomist, I had the opportunity to train as a nurse. And it brings a smile to my face still to think that before 2001, now they give me the keys to the drugs cabinet, and before 2001 that would just have been not totally unthinkable. But you know, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Another thing that brings a smile to my face when I think about it is, for years I spent all my time running away from and avoiding policemen, and now I'm married to one. A saved husband, just one more blessing. And I have a son and a daughter as well, and my wee son, he's only 3 and a half, and he has asked the Lord to forgive him too. So we're just trusting the Lord for grace when she's a bit older, that she'll be saved as well. And the Lord has been so good to us. You know, it's not always easy as a Christian either. On the 14th of May 2005, my brother Jonathan was killed in a road traffic accident. He was killed in a motorbike. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18 says, The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite or crushed in spirit. And at that time, I felt totally crushed. But, you know, some people at that time thought that I would go back on drugs, that that would just tip me over the edge. But I can stand here and say that during the most difficult time in my life, that the Lord carried me through it. I've never felt his presence closer. And, you know, while I miss Jonathan, I just take comfort in the fact that I know that it was part of God's plan, that the Lord makes no mistakes. And even the hymn we sung at Jonathan's funeral, I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near to be my guide, he'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. By him, everything by him is planned. So as I face the future with its problems great and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. You know, maybe you look at me and you think that girl's life was a real mess. She really needed the Lord to step in and save her. And you're right, it was, and I did. But you know, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. You may not have gone to the depth that I did, and you may not even realise it, but you know, if you're not saved, your life is already destroyed by sin. You might not be addicted to drugs or alcohol, but if you're not prepared to give up your sin, in some shape or form, you're addicted to it. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. There's help in the Lord for everyone, in every situation, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever you need help with. He can save you and transform your life too. He doesn't promise that you won't ever have any problems, but he does promise that when the hard times come, that he will carry you through them. That when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I had to make changes in my life. I had to give up things. I had to give up friends. But I gained far more than I ever gave up. I didn't get what I deserved. Instead, I got what I didn't deserve. Just pray that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you.
We want to thank Catherine for that faithful word of testimony. It's great to hear how the Lord has delivered her and how the Lord has transformed her life. Just in the few moments that remain to us this evening, I would draw your attention to that 40th Psalm. Our sister has been reading from that. And if I ever give a word of testimony, that's the same portion of Scripture that I would read so I can personally relate to these verses tonight. And just looking particularly at that second verse, and the psalmist says, he brought me up. And he's speaking, of course, here of the Lord. It is the Lord Jehovah and the work that the Lord has done. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And those words truly explain what the Lord does for the individual when he saves their soul. It speaks here about the pit. And whenever you think about the pit of sin, you could think about the darkness of that pit. And her sister was able to relate to that in her word of testimony and how far down she had gone into the depths of the pit of sin and the miry clay and the horrible pit in which her feet were held in. I thank God for that deliverance from the pit. And it speaks here of the things which the Lord has done. If you even take it from verse 1 here, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then here's what the Lord has done. He inclined unto me. And you think there of the Lord inclining toward us. And at the end of verse 1, he heard my cry. And he brought me up And then in verse 2 as well, he set my feet, he established my goings. And verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth. And it's only the Lord can do that. It's only the Lord that can bring that transformation of heart and life. A man by himself is helpless. Man cannot deliver himself from that pit. But it's the work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. That's why he died upon that center tree at Calvary. He paid the price for our salvation. And the Lord is able to set the sinner gloriously free. When you look here to that second verse, it says, he set my feet upon a rock. And the one who is our rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. And he's the one who is able to deliver from the pit of sin. And if there's one tonight who has heard the word of testimony, and you have understood that you're not saved and you're not ready for eternity, and you're still there in the pit of sin, and perhaps you feel powerless of yourself, you look to the Lord tonight. And you look to him by faith. And the Lord has promised that when we take that step of faith and we call upon him, our sister quoted the verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord is able to bring us up out of the pit of sin, fit us for heaven, change our lives, establish our goings. The Lord gives that direction to the life. And of course, we often refer to those verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And the Lord establishes the goings. He establishes the path of his people. So how good it is tonight to have a life that is directed by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And verse 3 speaks about that new life in Christ. He hath put the new song in our mouths, even praise unto our God. Now, the old songs and the old music are gone, and the Lord has put that new song of praise. It's the song of the soul set free. We started out our service tonight singing that hymn about the wonderful change in our lives and the floods of joy over our soul. And when the Lord puts that new song in our mouths, it's an expression of that joy that we have. The joy of knowing that our sins have been forgiven. The joy of knowing that we're heaven bound and we're on our way to glory. We just want to praise the Lord for what he has done for us. And at the end of verse 3, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And there's the individual who has been transformed out of the pit of sin, who has been brought savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord has so changed their lives that many shall see it. They'll look upon it, the trophy of grace, the newborn babe in Christ. What a testimony there is there. The saving and keeping power of the Lord. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And we each tonight who are saved, we should be seeking to win others for the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we have opportunity to witness to them, to speak to them, and even to live before them, that they might see something of the beauty of Christ in us, and that we would be used to bring others onto the Saviour. We're grateful to our sister for coming along tonight, and we trust that the Lord will continue to use her and to bless her as she witnesses for him. And even here this evening, if there's one still outside of Christ, that the Lord would use that word of testimony and witness tonight and would bring you to that joy and to that peace in believing. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening.